Welcome to the Monday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson and a study as we continue in Daniel. Today, the message is when all else fails. Oh, perhaps we've run into that situation more than one time in each of our lives. And today, we're going to see how, both in Daniel's life and in yours and my life, as we pursue God, as we put God first, it'll change the outcome of everything. As we study the Word together, know that we're available. We're connecting online at our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, as well as on this phone number, 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with some of us ready to pray, to talk, to connect you with great resources. And we're here 24 hours a day. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
We are in Daniel chapter 3, and I want to read to you a few verses, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to remind you of some things. Now, I would like us to begin in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 46. Why in verse 46? Because Daniel chapter 2 and verse 46 is the moment at which Nebuchadnezzar made a public profession of his faith. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 46. Just to remind you, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He was an evil man. He demanded that the wise men, the Chaldeans, and Daniel, who was included in the wise men, that they interpret, tell him not only what he dreamed, what the dream was about, but what it meant. And he told them if they didn't tell him what it meant, that they would be summarily executed. We know that what happened in Daniel chapter 2 is that God came and visited upon his servant Daniel. And Daniel went back to Nebuchadnezzar and told him about the big statue, the head of gold. And I will remind you about some of these important things. And as we discovered in Daniel chapter 2 and verses 36 and following, how that this statue represented the unfolding of the ages throughout history. We got right up to the Roman Empire, the feet of iron and clay, and then we moved into prophecy. And you'll remember that there was a difference between the historical fact which is presented related to the Medo-Persian Empire and the Babylonian Empire of gold under Nebuchadnezzar, and the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And when we get past the Roman Empire, we move into prophecy. We move into the church age and into the consummation of the age, which we have not yet gotten to. Daniel came and told the king what his dream was about and gave an interpretation, and Nebuchadnezzar was delighted. He was so delighted that apparently he made a public profession of faith. Nebuchadnezzar, this evil king, found himself, if you please, sitting in a church service, and Daniel the preacher came and shared the word of God, and Nebuchadnezzar was so impressed that he went public and he stepped up in a worship service, if you please, in front of the court of the king, and he stepped out publicly and he made a public profession of faith. Or so everybody thought. Something happened. Because what Nebuchadnezzar says in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 46 in his public profession of faith. And what Nebuchadnezzar does in Daniel chapter 3 and following is an absolute contradiction of his public profession of faith. It is one thing to walk down an aisle or to raise a hand in a church service or to tell somebody, I've given my heart to the Lord Jesus. It's an entirely different matter to put your faith into action. Well, let's start with his public profession of faith. Verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, here it is, surely your God is the God of all gods. Here he is acknowledging who God is. And the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery to me. Here is this mighty king, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of all kings, the man who was in charge of everything, the man who had the ability and the capacity and the authority to execute whoever he wanted to. He called the shots. And he was so impressed with what Daniel had done that he was willing to do whatever. Can you imagine a man of this greatness, a man of this power, making a pronouncement like this? Can you imagine this public profession of faith? Can you imagine him standing up and saying, I just want everybody to know in my royal court that I'm not the King of Kings. Your God, Daniel, is the King of Kings. He's the one who reveals mysteries. He's the one who makes things happen. He's the one who created the universe. He's the one to whom all glory and honor and praise is due. And I'll guarantee you, if I had been there, I would have said, wow, folks, this is incredible. This is like the President of the United States coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and going on national television and saying to me, to us, people of America, I don't care if you don't elect me the next time around. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He lives and reigns within my heart, and I want everybody to know that. We would have said, wow. There's a sense in which it looks at this point like Nebuchadnezzar's willing to lay everything that he has down at the feet of God. Well, let's read on. Verse 48. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. You know, folks, that's not unlike us. Sometimes some people get up in places and say, God this and God that. And for a flash, for a moment, some of you young people, but I'm going to say to you young people, as much as I love you, do not ever think that just because you walked down an aisle on Sunday morning and stood up in front of a congregation and said, God has spoken to me and I'm making a commitment to Jesus Christ. That is wonderful. We're going to say yay and amen. But I'm going to tell you what counts is not this morning in church. What's going to count is tomorrow morning at school. That's what's going to count. That's the tough part, isn't it? That's the part where we got to pray for one another. That's where we've got to join arms and hands together, and we've got to support one another. Why? Because we know on that school campus, it's a lot more difficult. We know that. The opposition is going to be there. All of a sudden, reality is going to hit. And if your profession of faith in Jesus Christ is not genuine and real, guess what happens? You're going to crumble. You're going to fall. You're going to succumb. You see, as your pastor and your friend, I want to look out here 6 weeks from now, and I want to see you young people sitting right here. I don't want to hear in 6 weeks from now that for the last 3 weeks you haven't bothered to come to church. I rejoice when families and couples walk down these aisles and they say, God has led us here. Folks, listen to me. We're talking about making a statement before the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the genuineness of what God has done for us. So look what happened. The king placed Daniel in a high position, lavished many gifts on him. He made the ruler over the entire province of Babylon, placed him in charge of all its wise men. In other words, he became prime minister. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. I love Daniel, you know. Daniel was so unselfish. Have you noticed something about Christian men and women? They're unselfish. Have you noticed that when Daniel received a blessing, he immediately wanted others to be blessed too? It's a hallmark of something genuine, isn't it? He wanted others to be blessed. Well, look what happened in verse chapter 3. I really don't like to read this, but we're going to have to. King Nebuchadnezzar. Let me say this to you now. Listen carefully. Go with me back to chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, in the second year of his reign. Do you see that? In the second year of his reign. Chapter 3 takes place 16 years after Nebuchadnezzar's public profession of his faith. How do I know that? Well, if you go to the Septuagint is the Greek text of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, as we know, was written in what language? Hebrew. The Septuagint is the name given for the Greek text of the Old Testament, so that the Greeks could understand it. You see, the Greeks couldn't understand Hebrew. They didn't. It's like you writing something in Chinese. I'm not going to understand it. So the Greeks, and remember that the New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. That's why when people like myself and Brother John and Dr. Stevenson over there, when we go to seminary and that, we have to study Greek and Hebrew because of the original text. Well, the Greek version of the Old Testament tells us that this occurred in the 18th year of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, 2 years had already taken place when we get to chapter 2. So this was 16 years after the events of chapter 2. Now, it's important to understand that. This is not like King Nebuchadnezzar made this big pronouncement, appointed Daniel to be prime minister, and then walked out the back door and did exactly the opposite. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ruled over the provinces of Babylon for 16 years. Now, folks, listen very carefully. It doesn't matter how long it takes. A person who plays a game with God, eventually it will be made known. The Bible puts it in a different way. Be sure your sin will find you out. Eventually, those who are being hypocritical related to their faith in Christ Jesus, it is going to come out sometime. The Bible puts it like this: what is in the heart of man will eventually come out. That is why it's important in the faith to be tried and tested in your faith. That's why in leadership positions in the church, it's very important that you and I are tried and tested. And listen to me, beloved friends. Your and my lifetime, the more we're around, the more God reveals the special dispensation of His grace. That's why it's so important to be in a church like this and to be together and put your roots down. If I could beg of you, Don't play hopscotch. Don't jump churches all over the place. Don't keep changing and moving around. Put your roots down and develop a systematic respectability in the growth of your faith. God is going to bless you for that. Drop your anchor.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and he'll be back in just a minute with more great teaching in this message, When All Else Fails. But he wants me to remind you that you can connect not just during this broadcast, but 24 hours a day on our website, tewonline.org, and on the phone. Matter of fact, we'd love to pray with you right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Love to connect you with great resources like our free daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. Again, all you need to do is call and ask for it, 866-899-9673. Now let's dive back into today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word.
Now look what happened here to Nebuchadnezzar 16 years later. All right, I'm now going to read it. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps. By the way, these people, these officers, this is in descending order of importance. And I'm not going to try and tell you about all these officers, the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and then all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. You have a descending order of importance that surrounded the royal throne. And he wanted everybody who was anybody to be involved in this. The king was about to do something. Verse 3. So the satraps, prefects, etc., and I'm not going to read them every time, they assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. What a masquerade. They were coming to dedicate something. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do." Folks, I want you to notice something, that King Nebuchadnezzar was very subtle in this. He built an image. He summoned the authority of the land to come and all the people. They came in obedience, and then he dropped a bomb on them. We're living in a world today that does just that. Do you know that? We're living in a world today of television advertising. I call it a carrot stick approach. In other words, there are carrot sticks dangling out there. You need to come and do this. You need to taste that. You need to have this. Sex, drugs, alcohol. I think, for example, of the beer commercials, which I'm going to tell you quite frankly, the beer commercials, folks, in many instances are some of the best and well put together commercials in the world. Of course they are. We love to watch them. They what do they use? They use humor. They use sprightly looking people. They captivating. They the best. They put the best money into it. And they say to us, listen, you want to know what life is all about? You can have this. Drink this. There's nothing like it. They've even got magnificent horses plowing through the snow in magnificent scenes. And they have the great grandfather and the uncle's uncle and the son who runs it. And he sits down and he tells you about this unbelievably incredible, this value, this tradition was put into their hearts, and how out of compassion for the world and for youth and for young people, we were able to create a beer above all beers. And when you drink this beer, it comes from the Rocky Mountains and it's going to change your life. And we just stand in a long tradition, and we are just the absolute hallmark of American society. And as long as you know when to say when, you come and drink it, and we'll just help you, but we'll get a designated driver for you, and so on and so forth, and what have you. The tobacco industry today is being faced with some challenges they've never had, but the tobacco lobby is unbelievable, folks. You can go back to the original Marlboro man. What a man of all men. Cowboy hat and boots. Nobody who looked better than he did. This was a real man's man. And to be able to walk around with that cigarette in your hand. But what they didn't tell you is that pastors like me, even this past week, go into hospitals and hold the hands of men and women who today are dying because of it. That's lowering the boom. That's the reality. That's the bottom line. Well, this man was no different. King Nebuchadnezzar, he built an image and he said, listen, let's have a dedication ceremony. And I tell you what, he was so shrewd, Steve, you would have loved this. This man assembled an orchestra such of which you've never seen, brother. I mean, he had the cheerleaders out. He had the trumpet players. He had everything you could imagine. He said, we're going to do this. We're going to have something like a ticker tape parade down Fifth Avenue in New York City. And I want everybody to be there. And he wrote a letter and summoned the people in the top echelons of his community and society. And he said, listen, I want the governors and the satraps and the provincial administrators and the prefects. I all want you to be there, because if I can get the top people to be there, guess what's going to happen? The rest of the people are going to follow. Well, let's read what happened. Then the herald loudly proclaimed in verse 4, this is what you are commanded to do. O peoples, nations, and men of every language, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Excuse me? Is this not the man that just 16 years ago said that there's only one God and he's the God of all gods? Look at verse 6. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard all this music, all the people, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers known as the Chaldeans came forward and denounced the Jews. Excuse me? Were these not the same men that because of Daniel, their lives were spared? Were they not the wise men who had the threat of death and execution if they were unable to interpret the dream? Were not they the same ones that were delivered from the executioner's blade? And now all of a sudden, they are turning on the very hand that helped them? Something's going on here, folks. I'm suspicious. At this time, in verse 8, some of the astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of all this music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews. Now, folks, if you don't see a subtle hint of jealousy, and the way in which Satan can work in these words, listen, but there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you. Just thought you needed to know this, king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, jolly good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God, listen to this, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So much for his profession of faith. All of a sudden, this God whom he acknowledged as the King of Kings becomes what God? What God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And then verse 16, 17, 18 are three of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Folks, watch me. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, he is all sufficient. You don't have to defend yourself. Can I encourage you to do something? Don't think as a believer that you need to go around trying to prove God to everybody. Just live God. You don't have to prove God. I promise you, folks, I will discuss theology and spiritual matters with anybody, but I won't get into a debate with people.
Oh my goodness, the power of God's word and the truth of that challenge. Perhaps you may feel like you have the Nebuchadnezzars in your life about to push you into that furnace. You don't need to go into it alone. We're here for you. Right now, would you open your heart to perhaps the most important question from our pastor of the day? It's next on The Encouraging Word.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today. And forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey. Someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us. Someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to The Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus and Me, by Anne Graham Lotz. In Jesus and Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus and Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening today.
That number to call is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org.
The Encouraging Word has been such a tremendous blessing to me. I want to thank all of the Encouraging Word staff. The daily devotionals have encouraged me and helped me in my daily life. I thank God for the work that TEW does. And I know you are making such a difference all around the world. Thanks to you, I've returned to church and now have a church family that I can worship the Lord with.